Hello, it's Shahid, and welcome back to another Creative Floor Award Show podcast. And also welcome back to what is still, somehow, the world's number one marketing podcast, according to the Podomatic Global Charts. A massive, massive thank you to everyone who listens, subscribes, and shares these episodes. It's really quite crazy, but thank you. So this is today's final podcast episode of the season. We've got a couple of agency tales in the background, but I don't quite have enough for a full episode. So if you have a story that you'd like to share, I could possibly squeeze an extra episode out. But also, if there's anything that you'd like to chat about between now and next season's podcast, I'm always happy to do these ad hoc. If the topic that you'd like to talk about is fun, interesting, and inspiring. So do get in touch with me directly on that. Our final awards deadline has now sadly passed. Best of luck to everyone who's entered this year. Here's a little hack for all our listeners. If you have any unfinished entries in the system, we're not actually going to be closing it down until Friday, the 3rd of May. So you can still go in and complete them. We're not advertising that at all. That is just for your ears. Don't tell anyone. And if you are going to take advantage of that, very best of luck to you too. Right. So today's episode is called Rise of the Robots 24. For those of you who listen to these podcasts regularly, will know that we did an episode last year called Rise of the Robots. And it was our most listened to episode by a country mile. It's essentially a panel discussion on AI. It's absolutely perfect for anyone who's dipping their toe into that space, or even if you're a complete AI Jedi expert in it, you're going to love it. We've scoured the entire communications industry to bring you the best minds and expertise in this area. So this really is unmissable. Wherever you are in your tech and AI journey. If you haven't seen the trailer for this episode, please do go and check it out. We can see it on our LinkedIn page, Instagram, Facebook, X, etc. We've got two trailers that were made. One was human made and the other one was AI made. Really, really fascinating. One's definitely more of a tease and the other one is definitely more literal. But do check it out if you haven't seen it. I'd love to know what you think. Just drop me a line or comment wherever you get to see it. It's always going to be, I think it's going to be really fascinating just to kind of get the response to see what people think, see which one they prefer. Anyway, let's get on with the episode. You're going to love this. This is Rise of the Robots 24. Well, hello, I'm delighted to welcome today's guests all the way from the USA. We've got Mr. Joseph Grafe, Director of Creative Engineering of FCB Health New York. Hello, Joe.
Hey, how are you?
All good. And also joining us all the way stateside is the lovely Patrick Mulliday, Senior Creative Engineer, also, and his dog, or someone's dog, from FCB Health New York. Hello.
Good morning, good morning.
Good morning. We've also
good afternoon.
Well, afternoon, yeah, my afternoon and your morning. Also welcoming from Digitally Sick, Mr. Faisal Ahmed. You all right, Faisal?
How you doing?
All right, yeah, good. And we've also joined, well, apparently, by Chris Cedar, Global Head of Engineering of Experience from 21 Grams, but he's actually had to just leave quickly because he's been called into an emergency call. So he might be joining us later on. If he doesn't, he's here in spirit, I guess. So,
hello.
He's back. Hello, that was good timing. Hello, welcome.
Hello, everyone.
Hello, are you with us now, or do you need to go back?
You know what? I may have to go back. I don't want to keep screwing this up, so I might have to jump.
It's fine.
All right. So, are you gonna? Maybe you want to do your intros again. I think I have to jump.
That's cool. You keep coming in and out, Chris. It's cool. It's totally cool. We'll just keep that as part of the intro because I think it's funny. So
okay,
that's all good. So welcome everyone. We've got quite a few tech bros, I guess, on the episode today. So last year we did an episode called Rise of the Robots, and it was our most listened to episode. So I just thought it'd be worthwhile maybe doing Rise of the Robots 24. And we've also been joined by Patrick, who's a completely new to our podcast. So welcome, Patrick. And I just thought it would be a wonderful opportunity to just talk about what's happened since the last time we jumped on here and talked about this. So a lot's happened in the last 12 months. I think just a review and a recap of things that you thought were going to happen, maybe things that didn't happen, and maybe some surprises and some delights, and maybe some bad stuff that had happened that you might not have thought of. And then I thought it would be really good to just see what's going on today and then maybe get some predictions for us in the next 12 months.
Oh my gosh. I was just thinking when you brought that up, I'm thinking, I mean, in the past year, so much has happened, right? I mean, the different, you know, specifically talking around generative AI, you know, there have been, I don't know how many versions of Midjourney have come out in the past year. When I think the last time we spoke, they were maybe on version 3. They're on 6 now. Amazingly better from, you know, fidelity and just listening to prompts. OpenAI has launched, you know, different large language models, and Anthropic has, you know, launched a new model recently. And I don't know if we said this last time, but I know Patrick and I say this quite a bit. It's like we get Gen AI fatigue. And right before the podcast, and I know we were talking, there was two huge announcements even yesterday with Google and OpenAI, with Google launching 1.5 Gemini and OpenAI. What is it, Patrick? Sora? Is that how they're saying it?
Sora.
Yeah, text to video. And it's just every day there's something new.
What do you think was the biggest surprise over last year for you?
I think I've really dug into sort of the large language model side of the generative AI sort of space, and being able to use your own content, which they basically call it grounding a large language model. So using your own content in context, I think that is getting better. I think the advancements in that are moving pretty quickly. That's been a big change. You know, when these models first were announced, it was, you could go to ChatGPT or, any of these services and start asking questions. And, you know, it was fun to have a conversation sort of with, you know, the data of the internet, right? I think where we're going is that using your own data alongside these large language models, I think is where things are going to go. I think that's changing search. I think that's changing the industries, you know, where we can actually take, you know, client data and sort of use that to augment these large language models and get, you know, client, you know, or brand specific factual data that's coming out. And I say that loosely. These things are, it is generative AI. So it's, you know, they're never going to be 100%, not right now. But I think that's been one of the big advancements and something that I've been following and have been, you know, doing a lot of research in.
And Faisal, you're kind of coming at it from more of a client side. What do you think has been the biggest shift in the last year for you, if any?
I think bits and bobs. I think mainly client side. Obviously, there's a lot of processes and stuff to go through. But if you look at where the exciting stuff is happening is in drug discovery. That's scaled up massively over the last year, and especially like helping with clinical trials. And there's a lot of, if you can follow like the money trail, there's a lot of companies investing in that part of pharma and healthcare versus like commercial and marketing, right? But other big changes, people are talking about it. You've got brand managers, general managers, everyone from even like the receptionist talking about generative AI in the last year, which is massive.
Like actually yesterday, as I mentioned that this morning, when they announced Sora and I saw the text to video, I overuse the word amazing. It's always amazing this and amazing that. And but I saw that video and I think for the first time since this generative AI boom started, I got a little scared. I'm usually inspired and like, oh my God, I can't wait to use it. And this is so cool. And when I saw that, the results of those videos, I was like, oh boy, like this is really like, sort of like being in a I went for a drive in my friend's car once, and he had this crazy Porsche. He started driving so fast, and I was like, "This is really fun." And then he got really, really fast, and I'm like, "Okay, this is really scary now." That's what it feels like. So I'm kind of getting scared. Like, wow, this is really, we really got to get a handle on this stuff, because I can't tell anymore. It's like, wow.
Yeah, that text to video stuff is just amazing that they announced yesterday. I just think of the one example, the Big Sur example with the waves going against the side of the rocks. It's like it's just mind blowing. You watch the details of the water hitting the rocks and then coming off the rocks and how it's sort of undulating just around sort of the features in the water. And I'm like, this is a drone shot. Like, this is literally, someone took a drone, flew it out into the ocean, and they're taking, video, it's amazing.
Yeah. To be fair, like, the video games have been getting like that. What is it, like the Unreal Engine, yeah. They've been doing that, and it's, I get it. But when you bring it into the generative space, it becomes like, okay,
this is video crazy. Games have had AI since what, 90s, right? So they're one of the leaders. I'll tell you what, Joe, I think there might be a role for a prompt engineer within the video department now, right?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I mean, that's something that Patrick and I have sort of already been, we're sort of doing this. And that's sort of what I was sort of talking about before the podcast. And, we're getting pulled into, working with creatives on, storyboard development. And I think that, that process has changed.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, you think about the amount of money being spent, using animation houses to build out a board-o-matic. And now, this stuff can be done, in a fraction of the time, and you're outputting video, right? You can use these tools to, create voiceover. You can use these tools to, create the imagery, then take that imagery and then, create video out of that imagery. And, so it's, you're basically building a story, almost like a trailer for, commercial, in a fraction of the time. So yeah, I mean, it's impressive.
Anthropic has their prompt engineering career, status still up. They have four of them now for, $350K.
Oh, is it still up? That's funny. Yeah.
Well, there's four of them now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, there's four spots for prompt engineering manager, prompt engineering librarian, prompt engineering architect. You just have to move to San Francisco and go into the office every day.
where was that, Patrick?
Oh, Anthropic.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So I'll tell you what's the most significant when they launched Sora this week. If you look at the website, before they've opened it up to the public, they're saying we'll be taking several important safety steps ahead of making it available in AI, in open AI products. So they're looking at, like, they're working with experts in misinformation, hateful content, and bias.
Yeah, that's interesting. It's, again, I go back to what I was saying in the beginning is with these large language models. What's really interesting is, Google announced Palm 2 this year, and then they released something called MedPalm, which is their medical fine-tuned large language model. And what I find interesting is that when you go to their documentation, you get this orange box right up front with all the cautions of saying, like, how this is generative content. It may give false information. Please check with your healthcare provider. This is not, to what you're saying, it's like, there's a lot of advancements, but we still have to be careful on how we're using these tools.
On Sora, is that all licensable? Is it commercially available for brands to use at the moment? I know it's only just come out.
They just released it. So I think it's like a fancy research paper at the moment, but I assume they're going to integrate it into like a ChatGPT type interface, the way they did with DALL-E and everything else. That's my guess. And it's going to be expensive.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Money, 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 money. Yeah.
And it, just within your day-to-day then, like, is every single brief coming down the line asking for an AI solution when it comes to production? Or is it still kind of dependent on the brand and the creative?
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, I think AI has turned into just such a day-to-day word now. And it's we see it a lot in every, you know, RFP coming in, or talking with, you know, procurement teams, or talking with clients. And we do have to remember that, you know, machine learning and deep learning and generative AI, that all of this sort of falls under this umbrella, right? Like, machine learning, we've been doing for over a decade. Deep learning and Gen AI is fairly new, but I think it's funny, because a lot of times when we're talking with clients and they use the term AI, it's like, I always sort of correct them and say, are you talking about generative AI? Right. And I think that's where, like, the buzz is right now. And that's where all the opportunity is, right? That's generative AI is definitely where all the opportunity lies.
Yeah. And I think, to be fair to pretty much everybody, when they say AI, they're always pretty much talking about generative AI. That's just how it is. I think you can use those terms interchangeably, but I think 99.9% of everybody that mentions AI is talking about a ChatGPT type output, or Midjourney, or, you know, insert cool platform here kind of thing.
In your opinion, do you think when clients mention the word AI, it's almost like it's another word for do it cheaper and faster rather than better? For me, where the threat of roles and jobs is, right, in terms of, well, okay, I want a director, I don't want a photographer, I don't want a copywriter or whatever it is, I want a prompt engineer, because it just means, you know, less bums on seats. I guess it's a question also with a bit of an observation is, of course, everyone is talking about AI because of all the amazing things that it can do. But fundamentally, if everything's driven by a prompt or a word, and you've got 5 or 6 or 10 brands in the same marketplace, and there isn't much to differentiate, but they're all using similar prompts, where is the differentiation? I guess that's the kind of thing that I'm sort of, you know, I think about all day, in terms of, okay, this thing can get things out really great, but what happens in the next 4 or 5 years? When everyone's using the same platforms and they're just using the same words.
So if you think about it, so from my point of view, creativity, we can't mess around with the creativity. It's more the production side. But then when you think about, like, the lovely buzzword omnichannel, you have to use generative AI in emails, detail aids, do you see what I mean? Websites. You have to use it to speed up that process.
But I mean, a lot of creatives nowadays are using Midjourney for ideas straight away.
Yeah.
So, I think what you're saying is correct. For most people that I speak to or interact with, they'll literally take the brief that they're given. They'll punch in a few. They'll just punch in the strategy or whatever it is, and they are presenting concepts with Midjourney or equivalent. So. Yeah, I don't know. It's exciting. It's fun, right? And it's instant, and it's a bit of a playground at the moment. But I guess
People are doing that. Sorry, Jay. If people are doing that, Shahid, then you should have a category for generative AI.
We do.
As we're talking about, like, the Midjourneys and maybe Dream Studio or Stable Diffusions, and this, sort of these models that are sort of locked. I think where we might be going, though, is that, you know, we'll be able, just like how you can sort of fine tune a large language model, you're going to be able to fine tune these sort of image models as well, right? So imagine you have your own style of a brand, or you have an idea of a style for a brand, you know, you'll be able to fine tune that. So I don't think that as that becomes easier, you know, the creativity will then change, because you're changing these models, right? So you're influencing what the output's going to be.
Yeah.
So you're not just going to go to Midjourney and put a prompt in and get something out. And, you know, because I mean, I can tell you, like, you know, my daughter and I were watching the Super Bowl the other day, and, you know, she's 15 years old, and she just flat out called it out. She's like, that's AI. And now she could see it. And I think folks can see that now. Like, you can see that it's Midjourney. You can see that it's just, you know, it was generated by one of these platforms. But as the tuning gets better, and I know that Midjourney, and Patrick can speak more to this, I know that Midjourney is, you know, they have this style reference now. Is that what it is, Patrick? So you know, you can sort of put in your own style and start tuning the output, and that's what's going to change the creativity. So you're not going to get the same thing over and over and over again.
Okay. Going back to my initial question then, are you seeing it as another word for just do it cheaper and faster rather than better?
I mean, that's what we hear now.
I think that's what they want. Yeah. But I think because we're still in this it's relative usually to probably the size of the agency, this like discovery adoption phase where everyone's on a sort of, like Joe and I have been doing it since day one. Some people have picked it up just recently. Some people have picked it up 6 months ago. So there's like this unevenness as far as experience across the board. So it hasn't been, I mean, unless you're, you know, a super advanced agency that has everybody up to speed, I don't think many places are at the point where they're completely like operationally and systematically using generative AI, like across the board in the same way where they could just like bang stuff out and make it cheaper. There's probably some places that are doing ads and things like that, but they're probably small. Not everybody knows how to even ask the questions like in a way that makes sense to like, well, this can be, we can reduce our cost of doing this and that by 20% because we're going to use this platform and we know that that does this. Like none of that has been able to happen because everyone's still like, how do I retrieve my username so I can do this platform? Like it's such a mess. And like, I feel bad for the Harry Owens and, you know, all those people that have to like figure out like, you know, user sign in and enterprise license this. And like, it's such a mess at the moment because people are just going out and doing it themselves. And like, because it's so easy to just find this stuff, onboard it, you know, just start using it. And just, you're like, it's crazy. Right. And I think it's difficult. I think that's what they want. They want it cheaper and faster, but unless you're already, you know, a little bit somewhat schooled in it and you know how to use it, it might actually take longer because you don't realize that like, oh, with Midjourney, you can't just press a button and you're done. You got to press a button and get a thing, and then you got to bring it to Photoshop and change it a little bit. You might not get what you want right away. In fact, you probably almost never do. And you got to finesse it a little bit. So figuring out how to make that a repeatable process so you can later say, hey, we reduced, you know, our cost this way and we can do it again for your project and save you this. And now we can save those hours and put them into like the creatives, you know, making 5 more ideas for X, right? Something like that. But I think we're not there yet.
Patrick, if you and Joe have been doing it from day one, so I thought it started in the 40s. Are you guys like 80 or 90 years old now?
Yeah, I have the Benjamin Button disease, so I'm I'm doing good.
Joe's definitely looking good for 90. Tell you.
Here we go.
I mean, to your point, Shahid, I mean, just brutally honest, I've been using it internally as a client for the last year and a bit, right, just to save time and costs.
What have you been using?
We've got our own internal ChatGPT system. There's Jasper. There's quite a few other systems. And it's just quicker. Do you see what I mean? Just to do it as well. I think it's not just cost. It's just quicker as well.
Yeah, the speed. I mean, yeah. I use a couple to do writing and emails and letters because, yeah, you're right. You can just sort of save your life and save your time.
Yeah.
So I guess it's just the personal experience of when you have to use some of these platforms for your own life and admin and just, you know, boring stuff versus the creative process. I guess that's where it sort of more applies for people who are listening to this podcast. And I'm sure most people listening to this have dabbled or are dabbling in, you know, using most of the common AI platforms for most of their concepting. But I guess it's just the production part is really interesting because of the licensing issues and limitations that where we currently are. Again, I just predict it's going to be like a Spotify moment where, you know, artists kind of upload their content to a platform and whatever images or assets get used, it will just be a split cost I guess that's where it will go.
Feels like it.
Who do you think is going to be the first platform to Spotify all of this?
I think there's a paid version of Gemini already.
There is. Yeah. It's a pro or advanced or whatever it is. Yeah. It's part of their Google One package. I think Adobe sort of started doing that. No, yeah.
I just don't know how they're doing it. Like, I know they say that. They say, we're going to pay art. I don't know. Have you met any artists that have got their check from Adobe? Like, hey, my art, because it's two things. Like, I love that Adobe's doing that, but they didn't ask the artists when they did it the first time around. They're saying that now, but what artist put their stuff up on Adobe Stock and said, I can't wait for this to get used in their generative AI platform. And then they're going to ask me later to make money, but I don't know when. I don't know any artists making money from Adobe yet. Anybody? They say that. They say, hey, we're going to do this and we're going to give you money and we're going to track it. And we have the content authentication initiative. I forget what it's called exactly. And they have all that going on, and they're saying we used only our stock and only licensed this and this and that, and we're going to pay artists. But I don't know who's gotten paid or how they've gotten paid, how they've figured that out. It sounds good.
Figuring out the copyright and, you know, how that's going to work, I agree. And putting policies in place. I mean, you know, Patrick and I have been working with our compliance and legal team, making sure, you know, whatever tools that we're using are, you know, sort of walled off and not, you know, not getting retrained on client data and, you know, things like that. I think that's something that I think needs to be thought about more. Even like a lot of these platforms, they don't even have like enterprise versions, right? It's all this one of like Mid Journeys and, you know, your OpenAI ChatGPT. I guess they have enterprise now, but, it's still like, there's no way to sort of govern or, you know, make sure that our client data is safe. Right. I think that's something that sort of needs to be worked out. We got to make sure that we're using these tools the proper way and not just putting out information all over the place.
If you take outside the industry, what's interesting is the deep fakes.
Yeah.
And that applies to the industry as well, right? Using certain talent in deep fakes. I think that there was a really good campaign by Milka Chocolate that launched this week where they used a deep fake of a famous pop star in, I think, Sweden or somewhere. But then you take the other element to it is deep fake in the elections coming up is going to be a bit scary. What information is right? But then you can flip it. So in Pakistan, the elections last week, Imran Khan, whose party, independent party, actually won the elections, he's in jail. So what he did is basically all the videos that were put out were deep fakes of him because he couldn't film it.
Yeah.
He could write the speech, but the video is a deep fake. So that's sort of worrying in general, but how do you utilize that?
Oh, I want to see that.
You hear about this? They're trying to bring Michael Jackson back to life for a new world tour using the hologram. So yeah, I guess it's got pros and cons.
And Pepsi will be involved, right?
If you're talking virtual fire,
if you're talking industry,
right? Okay. Heard it here first. What about the opportunities then? What are the opportunities for agencies and communication agencies right now to kind of keep themselves in business and to keep the creative opportunity booming?
Learn this stuff. You know, it's definitely going to change the process of creativity. There's no doubt about it. If you haven't signed up for one of these accounts, I would say just get in there and start playing around.
Yeah. I do notice a pattern because people do come to me, especially for help, because they've either taken a workshop or they've come to our office hours or something. And they see that we're always talking about this stuff, but I do notice that some people have a hard time getting started, right? For the people that think that they're missing out, right? They're having this like FOMO moment and they just haven't had a chance. They've only been watching from afar. And then they've asked me, they say, there's just so much to learn. You know, they think because they have a particular role at the agency, they don't see necessarily where to get started there. And that's like, they think that's where they need to get started, but there's so much all over the place. They have this like paralysis. They feel like they're missing out, but then they don't know where to get started. You know, so that's something I notice. It's a pattern I see, because people come to me and they I don't know how to get started. I'm like, just, and I give them, I have like links and stuff that I share with them anyway. I'm like, just pick one, watch a YouTube video, sign up, and just try it. You know, there's no wrong way to use this stuff right now, as far as like, you know, a newbie getting started and playing. But that AI literacy across the board, I think, if the original question was I forget what the original question was, but you know, the benefit across the board, I think AI literacy will benefit everybody, you know, personally and in your work life. Like knowing how to spot a deep fake, right? Listening for those robocalls that are fake, that are trying to steal your money and, you know, do all those sorts of bad things. Like, you know, after a while you start, if you see it enough and you say, oh, that's what happens when a deep fake voice or, you know, video looks or sounds like that. Maybe they won't get, you know, taken or whatever. Right. And the more they know, you know, the better off they are.
I think, yeah, it's just Patrick's point. I think training is the most important, right, within agencies, just making sure there's training going on regularly on how to do it, how to do prompts, how to spot deep fakes, how to edit quickly, that type of stuff. But everyone within an agency should be, it's like back to the digital lens, right? Is everyone in the agency should be, back in the day used to say, you need to look at everything you do through the eyes of digital, through a digital lens. And I think that's the same point with AI. Everything we should be doing should be looked through the lens of AI.
Generative AI.
Well, and automation too. I think anything that can be automated, I think once that starts to be easier to do, you know, automation is going to be, you know, a big time saver and free us up to do, you know, more creative things. So anything that can be automated, that's going to be huge.
Yeah. I think the biggest thing is education, because the first thing when you start showing people these tools is 99% of the time, the response from that person is, oh, am I going to lose my job?
I can't remember who mentioned it earlier about having a prompt engineer in the production department. Like, these prompt engineers, it's almost like they should be part of the design studios, the artworking studios, the creative department. So, I mean, do you think even just opening up new roles in agencies of getting these engineers in to sort of go hand in hand with the creatives and the planners and the production people would also be an interesting step? Or do you think, no, actually everyone's got to now be a Swiss Army knife and, you know all of this stuff themselves?
My feeling is I think the whole prompt engineering part of this will sort of become you won't need to be a prompt engineer. One of the things, and I think Faisal may have mentioned this earlier in the podcast, is that the Jasper platform, you know, one of the reasons why I like the Jasper platform is that it sort of removes that prompt engineering sort of aspect from, you know, developing content, right? They give you these templates and, you know, and if you can sort of go through and fill out a template and start creating content. And I'm seeing that a little bit with some of these other text to image platforms too, where, you know, even with like Dream Studio, there's, you know, you can now click and there's a style and you can click and you can change the aspect ratio. You can, you know, so or even with the new Midjourney, you know, the Alpha Midjourney, right, Patrick? I think there's like tons of features in there that, you know, when you're using Midjourney in Discord, you know, you're doing dash dash AR or dash dash style or dash dash, you know, whatever it may be to sort of tell the system, you know, these parameters. I think some of that will become, you won't need to be a prompt engineer. I mean, you'll still need to give the system, you know, what you're looking for, but a lot of these little parameter things will sort of go by the wayside. You won't need to know them.
And learn from the mistakes of digital, right? So I think a lot of people might be going straight towards, right, let's hire a head of AI. And that's just one person within a massive agency. everyone's going to be after that person. That person just will not have enough time. That person won't have enough bandwidth, right, just to help everyone, and just fail in that role because they just can't do it.
Is there a head of AI where you are? Or is that you?
In client side?
Yeah.
I mean, we've got AI's been taught for everyone, but we've got massive, and most, and every farmer's company's got this now, is a massive AI development team sat in different places where they're working. They're not working on like the commercial side of business. A lot of the AI teams are working on the, as I said before, like clinical trial recruitment, drug discovery, that type of stuff.
What about some predictions then in the next 12 months? What do you think is going to happen?
The future is uncertain. I do think, to go back, somebody said something about a Swiss Army knife. I think you will see sort of a revenge of the liberal arts major to a certain degree, you know, where having, you know, those different types of skills across the board will start to serve you. And the specialists will kind of won't be as prominent, I think. That's something I see. I kind of already see that, you know, with automation and with how things are, you know, and there will be different, there are different types of prompt engineering, right? You know, for the models that are created that need to have prompt injection and how the models will react to your prompts, right? So the more easy a model becomes and the more intuitive it becomes, that means there's a whole lot of prompt engineering happening on the back end, which is more than just, you know, how you write a simple prompt, right? There'll be some heavy prompting on the back end too. So it's going to be really interesting, but I do see a benefit to knowing a little bit of all of it, right? And moving and then letting the AI help you automate in places where you're where you need help, right?
Definitely, what's going to happen is we're not going to keep up quick enough because AI changes so rapidly, right? That's definitely going to happen. I think it's down to, as we said before, like there's going to be a lot of cost cutting because recessions are kicking in now as well, right? The UK just, I mean, we're talking in February, but the UK just kicked off a recession, on the 15th of February, right? So people are going to look to cost cut. I think that's going to be a massive trend. How do you use AI to cut some certain costs?
It's all very cheery at the moment, isn't it? Joe, Joe, give us some hope.
Come to the bright side.
Well, I mean, I think the models will just keep continuing to get better. You know, I mean, we see that, you know, as of yesterday, we saw that, again, I go back to OpenAI releasing Sora, the text to video. I think that's going to be a positive.
Universal basic income. That's what's going to happen.
Will it mean that people have to work less weekends? Will it mean that people won't have to work so late because these tools will be doing most of the heavy lifting?
I'll just say one good thing is if you start using it in pictures a lot more, right, that saves all the stress from pictures. A bit of the stress from pitching.
I mean, in theory it does, but I mean, some people will still cause stress in a pitch regardless. You know, I guess rather than doing a few versions, they'll want 300 versions. So maybe you're just back to square one. I don't know. Patrick and Joe, you're probably closer to it than me. Has it made pitches less stressful or given you more time back?
I think because just, and I'm going to speak on pitches that we've worked on recently, we've had less time to do the same or more, right? And we still deliver, and we're always like, oh, we could have done this better, we could have done that better. But I think we've been able to do more with less time, but we wanted more time because I feel like, because I look at the other parts of the pitch team and they're like, yeah, we've been working, you know, 3 weeks straight for 10 or 15 hours a day. I'm like, good grief. You know, and we get brought in at a specific time to help with the cherry on top sort of thing with some of the generative AI stuff. So I think it's, you know, because we've been able to do it, we're our own worst enemy because they come in at the 11th hour and say, can you do this? And we're like, I guess. And we do it and they like it and it works. And we're like, and then what makes them think they're going to give us more time later? They're just going to say, well, they did it last time, so they can still do it in 2 days. Then we know that next time they can still do it in 2 days. And so I don't know how you stop that snowball from, you know, getting bigger.
Yeah.
I think that's a culture shift, right?
Mm. Yeah. Culture shift for sure.
Back to the original question, Shahid, I think a positive thing that I'm already seeing with these tools, it's democratizing creativity, right? And I think that's going to continue to grow. You know, it's, you know, your traditional art department, you know, art copy, right? You know, that's going to change. You know, you're going to have copy folks now being able to use words to create images, right? You're going to have maybe account teams that dive into this and they can start prompting and coming up with, you know, imagery and sharing that with the creative teams and saying, well, this is what I sort of envisioned, you know? And I'm seeing that even with my daughter, right? The younger generations, I mean, they, you know, the creativity is, you know, I want to be able to create whatever it is. It's in your, whatever's in your head, you can get that out, right? And you can use these tools to do that. So, you know, you don't have to be specialized in Photoshop or Illustrator or any of these tools. You can now use your words and create something. That I think is a positive, right? Because we're all creative in different ways, but now this allows us to use our words to bring out content or bring out images or, I mean, 3D models or video, whatever it may be. I love that. You know, I love that these tools are just going to allow, it's going to give everyone creative freedom, right?
Yeah. I guess because, you know, we've got a bit of a healthcare slant as well to this podcast. Even when you just said that, Joe, it's like, okay, well, even patients, you know, who might not necessarily be able to express themselves, depending on what condition that they've got, you know, these tools will be able to help them express themselves, which then might lead into, you know, a creative realm or commercial realm by using these tools, which been able to have been done before. So I guess that's kind of interesting.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah.
I think the biggest thing for patients is it's basically, especially in like rare diseases, is diagnosis quicker using AI. And that's massive, right?
Yeah, that's going to be huge. Diagnosis, treatment, drug discovery, like that goes beyond like what we're doing as far as, you know, advertising, so to speak, but education, like once you go beyond that, like I can only imagine the types of, you know, drug cures and all those things that are going to happen. Well, once, you know, all the really super smart people get it, you know, get their way in AI and all that stuff starts happening. Like I think this is like super science fiction, futuristic stuff that we haven't even imagined yet. That just the predictions are just like out of this world. Like I can't wait. I wish I could go, you know, 5-10 years into the future to see what's gonna happen, because it's really the whole of that. Unbelievably exciting. There you go.
Yeah. Right.
I think another positive too, again, you know, putting in the sort of healthcare slant, is that since I've been in the industry, everyone's, you know, always been very anti the ad lob, right? Everything sort of depends on that world of the image and the headline being like the be all and end all of a campaign. And maybe this will kind of lead to this maybe more of a service design approach to clients' problems, you know, and maybe utilizing AI for things that people really want to spend their time with. Like even just yesterday, it was Valentine's Day, I think, or sometime this week. Did you see that website going around, Be My Boo?
Mm-mm.
Oh, it's fantastic. I'll drop it in the show notes. I'll drop it to you. It was done by an agency in the UK and in Australia. And you just upload your photo and then it just kind of, you know, puts it into this very retro kitsch, Valentine sexy type of different images, and you never get the same image back. It's always constantly changing, and it is incredible. Like, you know, you've seen my face, right? I've got big thick glasses. It managed to take them off every single time, give me perfect skin. It was fantastic.
You removed your glasses?
Yeah. Removed my glasses. Let me send you the link.
Interesting. So you uploaded a picture with your glasses on, yeah, and it took them off in the platform.
It's called BeMy.boo. I'll drop it in the chat here. And I'll also drop it in the show notes. It's absolutely brilliant. And I showed it to my kids and my wife yesterday. And I'm not joking. They must have been laughing for over an hour just playing that. And you're kind of there going, that's it. So when we're looking at brands, we should be creating things that they want to be interacting and spending time. Now, whether that's education, whether that's, okay, I've just been diagnosed with something, but there's something here that's going to help me, maybe entertain me when I'm feeling really down because I'm just about to go into treatment or whatever it is. So I think at more of a service design approach to brands' problems, or maybe I see it as an opportunity within the industry, and maybe even thinking about, you know, driving for real estate on people's mobile phones rather than, you know, spending loads of time on the front cover of a website that three people are going to go to in a year. I don't know. I'm just looking at some hope, but I think maybe that will be the big shift in terms of where this technology helps take us and our brands.
And for all the good stuff too, I like to think about anything that can be, I said this earlier, anything that can be automated will be automated. But I think of like people that have all the nonsense that goes on with like insurance forms or, you know, stuff with lawyers and all these complicated things that are complicated now, but having some sort of like AI personal assistant that can go in and just deal with all that nonsense and just give you the result that you need when you're trying to, you know, accomplish something, not just, I can't think of an example, but, you know, I'm thinking of like, anything, all that nonsense paperwork that seems so, you're like, oh, I don't want to have to do this. Even like your taxes, right? Just like tax stuff, like getting it done faster. Like I look at all that stuff and I'm like, eventually all that stuff is going to just go away. Unless, you know, the government gets in the way somehow and stops it with regulation. But I like to think of that stuff just getting easier and we don't have to deal with it anymore. It just gets done.
What about market research? Do you think that would be something in the future where you just, rather than wait for months, somebody just punching in, yes, I like it, or no, I don't like it, it could just literally tell you in an instant, depending on the market that you're aiming at?
Well, yeah, you could automate personas, right, in an instant and just give you, based on previous research and future possible research, here's research now based on those things, right? Is that what you meant?
Yeah. Well, that'd be a bit of a gift for creatives and agencies, wouldn't it? Just sort of bypassing the whole market research process in a few seconds on ideas.
Yeah.
To build it.
I think Joe's already built one, hasn't he?
Yeah. Didn't you share the paper or was it someone else that, I guess it was what, last year or 2 years ago, one of the universities built out agents. You know how you have non-player characters in video games, they essentially did the same thing and they built out these characters and they gave them profiles and they gave each of the players a different profile, the players profiles. And they basically just let them loose, like let them go. So it was like this whole gameplay. And what was fascinating, and I'll have to try to find the paper. What was interesting is that they actually started like building communities. So as the game played on, and again, this is a game. So
think of this
as like, the, you know, market research or building out profiles to see how behavior will, you can start literally predicting behavior based off of, you know, using generative AI to then say, okay, like if I give this set of criteria to these set of folks and I give this set of criteria and I build out these profiles, what will they buy or how will they interact? And you can just let that play out. Right. And that's, I'll have to dig up the paper, but it was really fascinating to read and how they started building relationships. And these are just, these are agents, right? These are literally characters in a game and they're now starting to build relationships with one another, which was really cool.
Yeah. I'll have to look that up. I have a vague recollection of that, and Oh boy, I can't remember what it was called.
Yeah, we'll dig it up and send it to you, Shahid, so you can maybe throw that in the
Yeah, send us anything that you think would be helpful and we'll drop it in the show notes for sure.
4 or 5 years ago, I was like, I don't know if I want to do advertising anymore. I was going to go back to doing music. I was like, I don't know. And then Joe, our paths crossed again for this creative engineering role. And then right after that, the generative AI hit and it gave me, I feel like it revived my career. Like it changed everything. I was like, I feel like I'm 20 years old again. I'm like, oh my God, this is so cool. This is so fun. This is so, the future's more bright and all that. Like it changed my life. And I imagine if it did that for me, it did that for lots of other people.
Yeah.
So I think that's a positive.
I think I've been hanging out with the lawyers and the compliance teams too much. In perpetuity and minimize risk, it's like burned into my head. Yeah.
That's funny.
Well, I think you said it, Joe, didn't you? Like this whole world is democratizing creativity for everyone. And I think that can only be a really, really fantastic thing, you know, because creativity can come from everywhere. And you know, if this means that more people can be more creative, then that's really awesome, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, it is just like digital, right? It's that era of ones who embrace it properly and do it properly. We'll thrive, right? And do some exciting stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. I guess, do you ever see a scenario in the production process moving on where AI won't be used?
Yeah. Med affairs. Medical.
Okay.
Mm.
It's just Joe said, right? It's compliance and lawyers. You can speed that process up. I mean, AI, machine learning, Gen AI is perfect for that department, but we're years off it, right? We haven't even got compliance and digital correct yet. Do you see what I mean? And that's a global thing, right? Not just a UK thing.
I was just looking, as you were talking about medical, I was just looking up that MedPalm model to see what the percentage was on how accurate the model is, because I know it's not, the score is not that great. So we are definitely far off as far as that goes, but because we can't trust it yet, right? If trusted sort of, but we still need that human to get in there and double, triple check what the AI said about, you know, this or that, or, you know, giving us wrong. It still gives wrong information. And that's actually going back to the beginning. It was a surprise, I think, for me, is these models are so, these systems are so smart. They're supposed to be, you know, exponentially smarter than we are. But again, they're trained on what we've given it, right? They're trained on us. So it's no surprise that they are stupid sometimes too, and wrong, just like people.
Wicked. All right. Well, look, thank you, Patrick, Joe, Faisal, and Chris. God, could shut Chris up, could we?
Yeah. Chatterbox.
He was here in spirit.
He was here.
Should have done a deep fake of Chris, right?
There you go.
Do we have about 30 seconds of his voice up front? We could just clone it.
Yeah, we could do a quick clone. Yeah, we've got that. Be careful.
Do that. Yeah, no worries. We can definitely do that. But yeah, just thank you so much for your time. We'll definitely add all the links that we spoke about on this chat, and just please send us anything more and we'll add it to the show notes to enhance everyone else's literacy. And I think we definitely covered a lot of things that are probably on a lot of people's minds at the moment. And I think we've also given a few areas of like optimism to look forward to as well. It is doing some incredible work, and it's just about us, I guess, looking at the opportunities that it presents itself. And yeah, everyone, do also send us your Be My Boo pics as well, because we all need a bit of a laugh. Let's be honest.
Absolutely. Thanks so much.
All right, good stuff. Thank you. Talk to you soon.
All right. Cheers, guys. Take care.
Thanks, everybody. Yeah.
Have a good one. Ciao.